This is my good mate, Dave. He's great, isn't he? I'm going to pray for Dave before he speaks. More, Lord. More of your spirit in Dave, I pray. Lord, will he speak words of heaven to us this morning? Words of life to us, Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. God is love. He is pure love. Religion would have us think that that God's love is like our love, but it's so much more. Religion says that God forgives those who are sorry. But the love that I see on the cross is the ones that he created, the one that he breathed life into, whipping him, jeering at him, spitting at him, killing him. And they're not asking for forgiveness. They're not going, God, oh, we're really sorry, will you forgive us? He just goes, forgive them. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. He is pure love. I'd like everyone to say, please, God is in love with me. Amen. You've got to repeat everything I say now. The whole talk. We're his kids. You don't have to keep repeating me. Okay. We're his kids. We're his kids. Romans 8 says, if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons and daughters of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. It's the Spirit in us that enables us to know God as Daddy. It's really easy to know God as Almighty God, my Master, I'm your servant, or even to an extent Father. But he wants it to draw it right in and us to know him as Daddy. Daddy. It even feels silly saying it. But that's the extent to which he wants to know us. Daddy. I'd just like to say that it's a real honor to be here. And I don't want to come here and be like, this is what, like, thus says the Lord. Because I'm kind of really aware of the fact that this is just us on a journey together. And right now, up in heaven, we've got Paul and Peter and Daddy and Jesus and the saints of old, Wigglesworth, Wesley, Catherine Kuhlman, John G. Lake, the history makers, and they're going, come on, guys! Come on! Come on! You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Dig your heels in. Run the race. And it's not just them, it's all of creation. All of creation. The little ants, the birds, the rocks and the trees. All creation is groaning for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed for who they are in Christ. To believe that God is who he says he is and we are who he says we are. Yep. God doesn't lie to us. He's our daddy. God doesn't go, you know what? I want to give them like a real life-changing word. I want to give them this word. Here you go. You're going to speak to nations. You're going to disciple nations. You're going to set up a charity that's going to change the face of the UK. Hey now, guys, this is God. Hey now, guys, watch this. It's not even true. He's going to waste his whole life. He's not like that. He's love. So I just want to kind of come here and just humbly, let's just go, we're on this together. There's so many people in this room, as I just look around, I just really respect and just honor the things that you fought for, the things that you're carrying, the battles you've won. I just honor the people in this room who've had just real hard stuff come against them, and they've managed to stay soft. Shababa. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you right now. We just want to say that we honor your presence. We welcome your presence. You are the breath of God. You are the life of God itself. You're the most intimate part of the Godhead. You're the Spirit of Jesus. And yet you're so secure in yourself. You're so humble that you just come and you want to dwell in us. You want to temple in us. You're the pneuma, the breath of God. You breathe life into Adam's nostrils. And now, just prophetically, we breathe you in, Holy Spirit. Just prophetically, if you feel like it, just take a breath of the Holy Spirit. Take a breath of God. Just receive that refreshment. Just receive that energy. Oh, we breathe you in. We just receive you. We receive your holiness, your purity. Ah. Shakalaba. Amen. On one level, like stuff like that just seems so silly. Like sometimes I do actually question my sanity. When I've kind of come out of like some crazy meeting and it's just been like just off the charts, and you think, you're just back at home, you think, am I going mad? Like, but we were just praying in the prayer meeting how we need to war against unbelief. We need to really, really war against unbelief. A while ago, Todd Bentley, he kind of commented that he used to see a lot more miracles in third world countries than he did in kind of Western countries. And it wasn't because the anointing was different. It wasn't because the presence of God was different. He kind of just put it down to unbelief. We really need to war against unbelief. We really need to fight it. We can't let it come in. It masks itself at times as wisdom. As weighing things up, and those things are good. I'm not saying let's be like really stupid, but to one extent, if we really want to see things explode, we need to get back to kind of a childlike faith. We really need to war against unbelief. And dare I say, naive. Ooh. But that people would even say that we're naive. So be it. I want to believe what God says. And some of us may go down believing, but they are never swayed. Man. Well, I don't really have kind of like a real powerful kind of like here is my 3-point sermon. I've just got some kind of stuff that the Lord's put on my heart recently, just some of the stuff which I'm just kind of carrying just in general, and I just want to just come and just kind of like humbly just kind of share it. I also just want to say I had just such a fantastic year with you last year, just coming and just hanging out. I was so encouraged just walking with you, and just it was such a great time. And I really love you guys, and you really made me feel at home and real welcome and stuff like that. So I just thanks for that. So basically what I'm going to do today is I'm just going to throw various stuff out, and some of it will just kind of be over your head, some of it will be like, yeah, cool, I know that, and some of it will just kind of, it'll hit home. I pray, I'm just going to kind of scat some seeds out. I'm not kind of necessarily going to go do-do-do-do-dum. Bill Johnson said this amazing thing. He says a lot of amazing things, actually. He seems to kind of sum things up that we wrestle with in a sentence. And it's like, oh yeah, it's so simple. He goes, a man with an experience is never at the mercy with a man with an argument. But with a man with an argument is only one experience away from changing his argument. would you like me to say that again? A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument, but a man with an argument is only one experience away from changing his argument. Ha ha ha. A man with an experience is only one... No. A man with an experience is never at the mercy with a man with an argument. Wait, ah, man. But a man... with an argument. You guys say it. Amen. Paul says many times, actually, the gospel is not of words, it's not of talk, but it's of power. Demonstrations of the power of God. It says in Corinthians 4, I think. I'm going to look it up. It says, the natural mind cannot understand the things of the Spirit. So what do people need? They need something of substance. Invisible God making himself visible. Does that make sense? We are called to walk in power. Every single one of us. Because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. If you could turn to the end of Mark's Gospel, please. Did you know that if you think that God doesn't want to know you, oh man, I can't say it right. If you don't know God as Daddy, and you don't think God wants to let you know him as Daddy, then you're under the influence of a lie. I'll just throw that out. All right, so the end of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. Go into all the world. This is like... Actually, let's go back a little bit. Verse 14. And this is like... I see one of this kind of... You know, it's Jesus, it's the last thing he's saying. It's like, okay, so you've been with me all this time, and this is what I'm leaving with you. So basically, afterward, he appeared to them, to the 11 themselves, and as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them, oh, what was this? For their unbelief. And their hardness of heart. Out of all the things he could have reproached them for, it was the unbelief and hardness of heart. Anyway, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Me and Taylor were walking in Marlowe Park. We preached to the swans, didn't we? He who's baptized and he's believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believed. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. And it's supernatural. It was supernatural then, and it's supernatural now. Shaka ba 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 ba. I was thinking the other day, what's the difference between like kind of us and other religions? Because in the Quran, that it says in the Quran to give to the poor. I've got a Sikh friend who they do loads of mission, loads of aid work. My auntie's sister is a Buddhist, and she goes to a Buddhism conference every year, and there's people there who are levitating. Literally, they're just coming off the ground in the power from second heaven. It's crazy. Other religions demonstrate power. Other religions, you know, demonstrate kind of social justice and stuff like that. I know loads of non-Christians who are just really loving people, really kind and generous. Their marriages are together. They're just really nice people. I mean, to me, it's the cross, isn't it? It's the cross. Standard orthodoxy. The cross. It's so beautiful, isn't it? We just love the cross. We thank you for the cross, Jesus. However, the church is called to rise up and redeem all creation. We are called to social justice. We are called to walk in greater demonstrations of power, because we have full access to the real source of power. Okay, this is... I'd like to just... last weekend, I went to my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary, and I went and I saw my great nan, and she was... she's in a nursing home, and she's 100 this year. She's going to get a letter from the Queen. Do you know you have to apply for a letter from the Queen? Yeah. We're applying anyway. it was so cool, man, because she's still sane. And she's like... It is encouraging, you know, because the people that old, man, they can lose it, and it's quite sad. Like. And she's like this high. This is my mum's mum. Yeah, man. Man, she's been on the edge of kind of passing on a number of times, but she's just holding in there. She's got like the heart of an ox, man, seriously. But she's in there, in that nursing home, and she's like just releasing the kingdom in that place. She's making friends with little old ladies whose families don't come and see them, and just really loving them, and she's really open about sharing the love of Jesus with them. And it struck me that every single person who is alive, every single one of us, has a sphere to fight in which no one else has access to. And we're never, ever relegated. We're never, ever considered to be too old. It's wonderful. Isn't that so cool? My little nan, she's in there. I could never get in there. You could never get in there. She's there. Shakaraba. I'd like to share something else. I don't know if anyone's met a guy called Ted Piker yet. He's got basically a house church in Wickham, and he's looking to kind of to link in with River a bit more, just for kind of some support and stuff like that. And I went out with him on the streets the other day of Wickham, just because I really want to just learn from him. And he's awesome, man. And like, we saw some cool stuff. We gave some words of knowledge, which was kind of encouraging to people. Like, there was this lady at a burger van, and as we walked past her, I got this pain in my back. And then we carried on walking, and the pain went. So we came back, and the pain in my back was there. So I said to these two people, hey, do either of you have a pain in your back? And they both had pains in their back. And we got to pray with them, and then I had this word of knowledge about witchcraft, and she was leading a coven, or she had led a coven. So it was really cool. Like, it was a cool, like, time out. And it was like, oh, wow, this is kind of a new thing for me. So anyway, it was... One thing really stuck out, which is that Ted has basically been going out onto the streets of Wickham for 2 years, 2 or 3 years now, and he just goes out and he makes friends. He's like 50, or in his 50s or something like that, so he's not kind of like me, so he's on their level, you know. And he basically makes friends with young people, like groups of young people, and there are now about 60 to 80 young people who know him by name. And they're just like, hi Ted, how's it going? So I just walk along, and I just wanted to learn, sit under him and just kind of get a bit of what he's carrying with that whole, street pastoring type thing. And we went into Costa Coffee, and there's a group of young people sitting there, and they're like, hi Ted, how's it going? So we just sat down. They were probably about 18, age-wise. and Ted offers to pray for this girl. She's like, yeah, cool. And then I had this word of knowledge for her, like, about kind of, like working with kids and stuff, and she was on this childcare course, and so it was cool as well. But the thing which really stood out was one girl said, in these exact words, when Ted's here, it's church time. Wow. When Ted's here, we know it's church time. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 6:18 or 3:16. They both say the same thing. Shadow. Oh, we love your Holy Spirit. We love your presence. We love your juiciness. All right. Basically, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Every single one of us are walking temples. We are temples. What happened? What do people do at the temple? People go to the temple to have an encounter with God. People come to church to have an encounter with God, to meet with God. If you're here for other reasons, then that's cool. But the primary reason should be to have an encounter with God. It's like, I want to meet with God, be encouraged. Step into the fire. When Ted's here, it's church time. Therefore, I am a walking encounter with God. Every single one of us is a walking encounter with God. Can everyone say that? I am a walking encounter with God. I am a temple. Sorry. I am a temple. Say your own name at the beginning of this, but go, when is here, it's church time. Okay, when Dave is here, it's church time. The thing is, we can't, in the natural, you can't give away what you don't have. So someone says, hey, can I have £5? I'm going to have £5. I can't go, have £5. If I say, I really want to give you £10. Sorry, I don't have £10. I can't give you £10, can I? You can't give away an encounter with God if you don't have an encounter with God to give away. You can't give a supernatural demonstration of power, of love, away if you don't have it in you to give away. He's looking for intimacy. Mm. Intimacy. Mother Teresa says this really cool thing. Time spent waiting on God is never wasted. Time spent waiting on God is never wasted. When we get intimate, when we take a sidestep from our agendas, when we take a sidestep from doing stuff and just seek the Lord, seek intimacy, seek His face, seek His presence, seek just getting to know Him, seek Him getting to know us, it's never wasted. Our productivity is exponentially increased. And we've just got to learn to just to love the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I see in a lot of churches, just if we sit in silence for 5 minutes and wait on the Lord, people are like itching to say something or itching to go on to the next thing. Todd Bentley, I know Todd Bentley's kind of, how do I say this in a good way? I don't know. Most people know this Todd Bentley situation, do they? He basically kind of... How do I say it? All right, Todd Bentley, we're fine. I just really want to honour... I do not throw away what Todd... I still learn from Todd, and I just really honour what he carries in, because we still read the Psalms and really rate King David, and he messed up big time. So that's first off. And he spent 3 months soaking in his early 20s in the glory, just being in the presence of God up to 12 hours a day, just seeking Him. And following that, he would walk into like deaf and dumb orphanages and just clear them out. Every deaf ear he spoke to, he'd just be like, bam. Fruit just comes from intimacy. That's just the example I want to give. John 15 talks about abiding. It's like probably one of my favourite passages in the whole of Scripture. I just come back to it again and again and again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Your authority, your anointing, the power which you swing that hammer, the size of that hammer from being a little toffee hammer to a sledgehammer in the spirit realm, it grows, it increases as we abide, as we strap ourselves into Him, into the vine, and just drink the sap. Just drink from Him. Can I just say, like, I know that it is difficult because people have jobs, you know, and the majority of people spend 9 to 5 just out, just in the workplace. But if you're to give away an encounter, you have to have an encounter. And there's nothing you can do to kind of bypass time. Does that make sense? In my relationship with Chloe, the way I get to know her is time. I don't get to know her by watching TV. I spend time with her. We go out for dinner. Some of you in here need to go on a date with God. You need to set up some candles, cook Him a meal. That's what Moses did. Moses cooked God a meal. You need to have a date with God and see what happens. Sebastian Cirillo in bass. I just love him. I love what he's kind of carrying. Just he's carrying kind of like that kind of just childlike faith. God is who He says He is. I am who He says He is. Who I am. He says I am. And he had this thing go on like a couple of months ago where he basically in the school changing rooms in PE, during the lesson, this kid twisted his ankle. And he was like, had his foot like up on the bench, being like, oh, like big fat swollen ankle kind of thing. And in front of all his friends, Seb goes, hey man, I'll pray for you. Can I pray for you? And the guy's like, yeah, okay, cool. So he just bites the bullet and he's like, you know what? I just want to go for this. I don't care what people think of me. And he just puts his hands on his ankle and just starts praying in tongues in front of his friends. He's like in year 10. Just God, just bring your healing. And the swelling goes down. And now he's getting requests on a regular basis for prayer from his PE teacher. That is sick. He is looking for a supernatural generation who are getting away from words, who are arguing out like theology and going, God loves you, let me show you. I was in Paddington Station last week and I was with a couple of the Bethel guys. And we were just sitting there having a coffee, waiting for our train home at about 10:30, 11 at night, and we were tired. Oh. I won't tell this story, don't I? Okay, I'll tell the story. And this homeless guy who's my age comes up to us and he goes, hey, can I please have some money? So we gave him some money. And we just decided to love him, basically. And just really just, like, in the natural, I just really wanted to just chill and just have a nice cup of coffee and just hang out and chat. But we really gave some of our time to him, you know. We gave our energy to just getting to know him. Just being like, hey, man, so what's going on with you at the moment? And why are you homeless? And just got to know him and, you know, hear a bit of his story. And then one of the Bethel guys, he just goes, hey, you know, like, God, he really loves you. He wants to know your father. And the guy goes, okay, cool. And he goes, do you want me to show you? He goes, yeah, okay. And he goes, put your hands out. So he puts his hands over his hand and he goes, Holy Spirit, I just invite you to come now. And the guy puts out his hands and he goes, whoa, I feel really hot. And he goes, that's the love of God. I'm showing you the love of God right now. God's speaking to you through me and through this experience right now. Experience. And he goes, okay, God, double it. And he's going, whoa, I'm getting really hot. I'm getting really hot. The invisible God just invades our reality through a carry of him. He's got an encounter to give away. And then, through that encounter, he then went, hey man, so do you want to know, like, God, like in a real relationship? The guy's like, yeah, cool. So Daniel, the guy who was staying with Linda, he just really slowly and carefully explained it and everything, every part of it, just led him through a prayer of salvation. It was awesome, man. We exchanged numbers and it was so cool. It was so easy, though. Shakaraba. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm telling stories. And that's testimony. The spirit of testimony is the spirit of prophecy. And when you prophesy, it shows you something to walk into. Doesn't it? God's calling you to be like a love machine. You're like, oh, okay, I can love. And you just become this really like loving person. God is the same God who did those things, and we can grab them as he tells stories. I want to walk in that. I claim that for my life. I claim moment seizing ability. So I'm just going to end on that, really. If we could just like stand up. And could everyone if you're by yourself, put your hand on your heart. And if you're sitting next to someone, just like hold their hand or like just put their hand on their shoulder or something like that. And I just want to just pray right now just for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you say that we're adopted into your family. We are children of God. And we are temples. And we just acknowledge the fact that a glass is not full until it's overflowing. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome you right now and we just say, fill us. Fresh baptism, Holy Spirit. Oh! Let's just wait on him. And if you feel the Holy Spirit doing something in you, if you feel like you want to move, like you're kind of swaying, just say, increase. Increase what you're doing in me, Holy Spirit. Fill me.